What is up, everybody? Welcome back to yet another episode of the Kingdom Crew podcast. I am your host, Josh Fan of ShowMeFootball.com and ArrowheadAddict.com, joined by my co-host, as always, Michael Darcy of KC Sports Report and Bleach Report. And Michael, it has been a couple weeks since we have done an episode. Free agency has begun. There have been a lot of changes to this Chiefs team already, but let's start with the biggest news that happened since the last time we did an episode. It's kind of old news for Chiefs Kingdom at this point, but we never really got to talk to each other about it, except for over text. But Chris Jones is back on a five-year deal that makes him the highest-paid defensive lineman in the league. And that was the first big domino that needed to fall. And it was just such a relief. I feel like it was such a huge sigh of relief for everybody. And it felt like a weight off our shoulders. And it was also good that they got that deal done before free agency officially opened, because you didn't want those negotiations hamstringing you from making other free agent signings. So to get Chris Jones locked down for the next 5 years just was an incredible feeling. And I feel like we agree on this too, this next part I'm about to say, but I really don't care about the years. I really don't care about the money. I mean, it's Chris Jones, man. Like, I don't think you'll find too many people complaining about this. Like, sure, there's going to be some fans that go, I'm not sure about those 5 years. But really, that the only part that matters with the contract is the first 3 years. The last couple of years are kind of fluff money. And look, by the time you get to the end of that, hopefully you will have won at least one or two more championships, you know? So I feel like this was a no-brainer bringing Chris Jones back. I know you and me were kind of on board with do whatever you can to keep Chris Jones. And that's what the Chiefs did, because the closer we got to free agency and he didn't have a new contract, that made me think, maybe he is going to hit the open market. And if he does, I'm afraid that some team like the Raiders or the Texans is going to go all out trying to sign Chris Jones. And that scared me, but they got him locked up and I think everyone's happy.
I think the thing that we should be, you know, the most happy about with the Chris Jones signing is that, you know, you got him locked up for the future. And it seems like, I saw this on Twitter, that, you know, we kind of had the big three that the Chicago Bulls had, you know, in the 90s. We've got our Michael Jordan and Patrick Mahomes. We've got our Scottie Pippen and Travis Kelce. And we have our Dennis Rodman and Chris Jones. Like that trio, as long as you have that nucleus, it's going to be great. It's going to be fine. And I remember there was a video that went around when this was at the beginning. I can't remember where it was, but Chris Jones was like, we're going to win four or five championships. And everybody made fun of him after they lost that Super Bowl. They're a championship or two away from living up to what they said that they were going to do. And that is a amazing thing. But honestly, for the contract, I don't hate it. I think that we were both under the agreement that as long as you could sign Chris Jones, I don't care if you give him $115 million over five, you just had to find a way to get it done. And that's exactly what they did. And I think that for what this team is trying to accomplish in the next 5 years, you need Chris Jones on this football team. And I think that also when it came to, are you going to re-sign Legarius Sneed or Chris Jones? Let's face it, the more important person to the team is Chris Jones, and he's a bigger priority. And so once they franchise tag Legarius Sneed, I was pretty confident that a deal was going to get done.
Yeah. And can we also agree on something else too? Everyone that's complaining about $32 million per year, that's less than Chris Jones's market value. He absolutely would have gotten more than that if he hit the open market. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, he would have gotten 34, 35. Easy.
I think so too. Because, I mean, the Raiders, they quickly signed Christian Wilkins on the first day of free agency, and he got a lot of money. And that kind of felt like a backup plan to Chris Jones, you know, if Chris Jones were to hit the open market. Because I even remember from the Super Bowl, there were some comments from Mark Davis, the Raiders owner, about how he hopes that the stadium and the Las Vegas atmosphere maybe impresses some of the Chiefs' free agents and that maybe some of them could come over and play for the Raiders. He kind of was half-jokingly talking about Chiefs coming to play for the Raiders. And I don't think you need glasses to read between the lines there that was definitely talking about Chris Jones. I think the Raiders were definitely a contender to sign Chris Jones if he were to become a free agent. And the idea of Chris Jones being a Raider or playing for any of those other AFC teams, it's just a disgusting thought. And I think Clark Hunt realized that, Brett Veach realized how important Chris Jones was to this whole operation, and the organization stepped up to keep him. And it was the right move. I mean, by the time 3 years goes by, you'll be at the tail end of that Chris Jones contract when he's going to be. So he's 29 now. After 3 years, he'll be like 32. And yeah, maybe he'll be declining by then, but you'll already be through the thick of the contract those first 3 years, because that's where a lot of the money is due. So I have no problem with the years. I think Chris Jones is going to age incredibly well. I've listened to a few other Chiefs podcasts talk about, you know, the history of D linemen as they get into their 30s. But I think if you surround Chris Jones with the right pieces and everything like that, he's going to be productive for at least another few years. And he's going to be drawing attention and drawing those double teams, even when he's older, even when he's 32, 33. I think he's still going to be a guy that draws a lot of double teams. So he still provides a ton of value even towards the tail end of that contract. And also, this was kind of a thank you contract for Chris Jones. Like, this was, you know, paying him what he deserved, maybe not for future performance, but because he deserved this from the Chiefs. And also, I should say, too, that everyone was burying the Katz brothers, his agents, last year for the negotiations and how those went. But in the end, they made Chris Jones the highest paid defensive tackle in NFL history. So feel like some people owe them an apology because they actually kind of did a good job.
I also think that we have to look at it like this. What are the odds the Chiefs win another Super Bowl in the next 3 years? What are the odds?
Pretty high.
Probably pretty good. And so as long as the Chiefs can get one more ring out of Chris Jones, that contract's worth it. And it's already really worth it if you look at it. But I think the safe bet is that Chris Jones is going to anchor a defense that's going to be top five again, and they're going to have a chance to go right back to the Super Bowl. And guess what? You need the guy that's going to change the game defensively, and that's what Chris Jones has done in every single Super Bowl, and that's why he is so important to this team. But I think if you're, you know, Brett Veach and Clark Hunt, you're looking at it from a perspective of, you know, we're in the Patrick Mahomes era. We're probably going to be in the Super Bowl. The likelihood of us winning one is pretty high. And so having Chris Jones under contract is just going to make that goal even, I don't want to say easy to attain, but much easier to attain without Chris Jones. So I think that they're looking at it from a perspective of, well, we're probably going to win a Super Bowl now because we have Chris Jones, at least for the first 3 years of his contract.
Yeah, I just kind of get sick of Chiefs fans constantly wanting to villainize the agents of players for trying to get their guy the most possible money. Like, I've also during the Matt Areza thing, when we signed him and it was clear we were letting Tommy Townsend go, I saw a bunch of people saying, we were never bringing Tommy Townsend back because Drew Rosenhaus was his agent. And it's like, okay, first of all, how many of you actually knew who Tommy Townsend's agent was before we signed Matt Areza? I'm going to guess it was less than 50%. Secondly, everyone pretends that Drew Rosenhaus like is an enemy to the Chiefs because of what happened with Tyreek Hill. Drew Rosenhaus was just getting his player the most possible money. That's what an agent does. That's what the Katz brothers did, and everyone was ripping the Katz brothers. And it's like, guys, that's just what an NFL agent does. They're going to get the most money from their guy, whether that's coming from the Chiefs or another NFL organization. But I'll save that rant for another day. I also think that the Chris Jones contract was an exception to the rule when it comes to Brett Veach paying aging players, because one, again, this is Chris Jones. Like, yep. I remember there was a Chiefs Twitter account that had Brett Veach as his profile picture that I made fun of a couple videos ago, because he's like, I wouldn't pay Chris Jones north of $30 million. And it's like they did exactly that. But he also said something about how, you know, this is out of the norm for Brett Veach because he didn't pay Tyrann Mathieu or Orlando Brown or any of those guys. I'm like, this is Chris Jones. Okay, this isn't aging Tyrann Mathieu. This isn't average Orlando Brown that we decided not to overpay. This is Chris motherfucking Jones, okay? Like, he deserves that. Like, this is different. This is an anomaly. This is an outlier because Chris Jones is that good and he is that guy. And you guys saw this last postseason where they don't win without him. Also, I think that Chris Jones is an exception to the rule for Brett Veach because this team is on the verge of doing something that has never been done in the history of the NFL. which is, you know, three-peating. And I think because of that, this organization realizes how special this time is, and they're trying to capitalize on this opportunity that they have of three-peating.
And they definitely have a good chance. And that's why I think that the contract was thought about in the next 3 years. Like, what is this three-year window going to look like? Because, Josh, they could win two championships in 3 years. I mean,
yeah,
who knows? But I do think that, you know, we need to look at it from a perspective also of, like you said, rewarding guys that have put in the work year after year. And Chris Jones got paid back in, I think it was 2020. But this is a payday unlike any defensive tackle has ever seen. And so I think that it is very rewarding of the Chris Jones efforts. Like, pay him what he has earned. And I think that that's exactly what the Chiefs did, because Chris Jones, similarly to Tyreek Hill, is a player that knew his worth and knew that he could kind of do some things that were unorthodox with his agents and still get away with it because he's Chris Jones. You know, Tyrann Mathieu, whose agent couldn't do it, Orlando Brown Jr., who was not even a top 10 left tackle, couldn't do it. Chris Jones could do it. He has the star power to back it up. And I think that the Chiefs knew they could not push him around the same way that they could push around other guys. And that's why Chris Jones got paid.
Yeah, Chris Jones won those negotiations in the end, because I feel like the Chiefs were really hesitant to go above $30 million annually, but they budged because they had that artificial deadline set, which was free agency, and they decided that keeping Chris Jones is more important than saving a few bucks. And I'm glad that they did that, because this is Chris Jones and he's a special talent. He's a special player. And Chris Jones also kept up his promise that he would never play for another NFL organization. And I think that's really cool too. And I said this a couple of videos ago, but Chiefs fans should not take for granted this trio of Chris Jones, Travis Kelce, and Patrick Mahomes, because it seemed like this could have been the last dance for those three. And I feel like not enough people paid attention to that fact. And I felt like they were taken for granted at times, but now we're going to see them for, it seems like, at least a couple more years. So,
yeah, hopefully enough time for one more Super Bowl.
For sure. For sure. But we'll move on from the Chris Jones thing, because I know it's kind of old news, but definitely had to get your thoughts on that, because that was a big thing that happened and we didn't get a chance to discuss it. But I should also throw in that Chris Jones is paid like the best defensive tackle in the league, because he is the best defensive tackle in the league, because Aaron Donald retired. Chris Jones is the clear-cut best defensive tackle in the NFL now. What was your reaction to the Aaron Donald news?
I remember when they won the Super Bowl, there was talk about him retiring after it.
Yeah.
He didn't retire. And I think he is a realist, and he knows that the Rams probably aren't going to be very good. And so the way that he thought about it is, I was the best player in football, arguably. Definitely on the defensive side of the ball. I got my Super Bowl ring. I'm an all-pro. I've made my money. What do I need to do? And so I think that he just stepped away from the game because he didn't have anything left to prove. And like you said, for Chris Jones, that's awesome, because he is the best defensive tackle in football. And I honestly think that you could have made that argument last year and maybe even the year before, that Chris Jones is the better defensive tackle. But now it's undisputed. You cannot argue with anybody else. Chris Jones is the best defensive tackle in football. But Aaron Donald had a great career, and I think that he's going to enjoy retirement, but you've got Chris Jones out here going for his fourth championship. So I think there's layers to this.
Yeah, and I'm just I have the thought in the back of my head, maybe in a year after Aaron Donald has been taking a year off, he'll get bored sitting on his couch, he'll want to play, and He'll come to the Kansas City Chiefs on a sweetheart deal to play next to Chris Jones on this defensive line, and the Rams will release him from the reserve retired list. But that's probably unrealistic. But man, I wish we got to see those two play together. Could you imagine?
We would lead the league in sacks. We would have maybe the most quarterback pressures ever. And I think we'd win every game.
Yeah. That would be an incredible duo to watch, but that's pipe dreaming, and we got stuff that has actually happened to talk about. So the next biggest piece of news that happened, Michael, the Kansas City Chiefs have signed a wide receiver. Finally. And I know you were kind of stuck up there in the wilderness of Colorado and you didn't have great internet. And I'm not sure how much you kept up with free agency amidst all the activities that you were involved with, but it was getting kind of scary there for a minute when all these receivers were coming off the board and the Chiefs still hadn't made a signing yet. It's like, okay, now we're down to only a couple guys that would really make Chiefs fans happy. And that was like Tyler Boyd or Marquise Brown or whoever. It was Marquise Brown. They signed Hollywood Brown, the former Arizona Cardinals wide receiver. We'll talk about some of the other receivers that signed elsewhere and stuff like that. But Michael, just off the top, what were your thoughts on the Hollywood Brown signing? And how do you think he fits with the Kansas City Chiefs?
So I'm a little bit different. I'm not one of those guys that thinks that Hollywood Brown's the answer, but at the same time, people were comparing him to Mecole Hardman. I think that's just plain wrong. He's not Mecole Hardman. He's definitely better than Mecole Hardman. Is he a number one wide receiver? No, I don't think that he's that guy for the Chiefs, but you know, you were going to go into the season with Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce, Justin Watson.
We were going to do the same thing that we did last year.
Minus MVS. So you definitely upgraded there. There's no doubt. I still think the Chiefs have to draft a wide receiver in the first round this year. And so, the answer at wide receiver hasn't been met yet. But Hollywood Brown is a really good piece. You know, I think that they're going to be able to do more in terms of stretching the field. He's a better MVS that can catch the football. Like, I think that's ultimately what he brings to the table. And I think that the Chiefs are going to have more of a vertical game than they have in the past couple seasons.
Well, I don't think Hollywood Brown was the best receiver that the Chiefs could have signed, but I think he's one of the better fits as to someone they could have signed because he brings the deep ball back to the offense. And that was my biggest thing. Why I liked the signing is, say what you want about Marquise Brown, but he's a deep threat and he has the speed to take the top off the defense. This offense last year did not have the deep ball. It was completely eliminated from this offense. And Mahomes really had to dink and dunk, and Andy Reid had to dumb down the offense. They simplified it. And that's why they started performing a little bit better starting from that week 17 against the Bengals. That's kind of when the offense started to turn a corner, right? And it was because they simplified things. They shortened the wide receiver rotation. But Mahomes had his lowest yards per attempt this past season in his career that he's had in the season. And that was a direct reflection of the lack of explosiveness from the wide receiver core. Hollywood Brown brings that explosiveness back. He brings that explosiveness back that you've been searching for since you got rid of Tyreek Hill. That's not to say Hollywood Brown is Tyreek Hill, but he has the ability to get open on multiple levels of the defense. He's just a good quality veteran that raises the floor of this wide receiver room. And here's the other thing, Michael, why I think this signing should be universally accepted by Chiefs fans is because when I thought of Hollywood Brown, I thought of a guy that would be signing for 3 or 4 years. It's a 1 year deal that you're just bringing him in here to be a band-aid fix to the wide receiver position that badly needed an injection of talent. Marquise Brown provides that injection of talent at least for a year. And if you don't like him, you're only tied up for a year. And that way, if he ends up being really good here and the Chiefs like him, they could always extend him, you know, but they're not tied up for the next 3 or 4 years. So if you're someone that's worried about maybe him losing his speed and not being as effective or drops problems or whatever, you only have to deal with it for a year. And I also think the drop issue is overstated with Hollywood Brown because last year he only had like a 3% drop rate. He dropped like only a couple passes and 93 targets, and his year in which he had the worst drop rate, that was his last year in Baltimore, he was targeted 139 times and had 6 drops. You know, that's just when you get targeted more, you're going to have more drops. Even some of the best wide receivers in the league have relatively high drop rates, but it's because they get targeted a ton. I think drops are a little overstated with Hollywood. I don't think they're as bad as people make them out to be. And he's definitely cleaned it up over the past couple of years. And the other thing with Hollywood too, is you're not bringing him in to be a number one. He was kind of the number one on the Cardinals. He's not going to be the number one option here. Kelce, as long as he's healthy and playing, he's still the number one in the pecking order in the Chiefs offense. And I think most people expect Rashee Rice to take a step forward next year. He's probably going to be above Hollywood in that pecking order, but Hollywood provides a nice quality veteran that can give you about 600-700 yards receiving, take the top off the defense. He just opens a lot of things up that MVS simply didn't last year. Guys like that, Kadarius Toney, he was a failure. Sky Moore, he did nothing for you. We know what Hollywood Brown can give you. And I think in the right year and the right offense, Hollywood is a guy that can get close to that 1,000 yard mark. And for the people comparing him to Mecole Hardman has never had a 90 catch season for 1,000 yards. There's just not the same player at all.
Yeah, that's not who Mecole Hardman is, but I think this signing is good. I'm not somebody that's negative about it, but I think that if that's the Chiefs' solution to solving the wide receiver issue, we're going to have a problem. But at the same time, I was looking at, because there were some people that were complaining about, you know, Brett Veach's lack of movement in free agency and how we have all these needs, we haven't addressed any of them, and why didn't you get a better wide receiver? I liken it back to, I want to say, a couple years ago when we desperately needed a defensive end. We needed defensive end help, and we needed it badly. And we were like, why are the Chiefs not signing Chandler Jones? And what was the guy that played for Minnesota? I can't remember his name.
Daniil Hunter?
No.
Za'Darius Smith. Za'Darius
Smith. Like, we were getting linked to all these people. And there was another guy that went, Randy Gregory. And why are the Chiefs not signing any of these guys? All of them ended up sucking. And they signed big contracts. And so Brett Veach was smart to kind of, you know, look at what the options were on the market and not go sign those guys. That might be kind of similar to what the wide receiver situation is this year. I don't think that Marquise Brown is bad, but I think there's a lot of guys, like, you see what Mike Evans got paid, like 52 mm-hmm. for 2 years. Like, that's the kind of thing that I would have not been happy about if we had to pay. And I think that maybe, like you said, the Marquise Brown contract is a one-year Band-Aid. You go in the next offseason, get somebody else, and you draft somebody this year. But I just don't think that the market was there for wide receivers. But with that being said, the Chiefs got their guy.
I also think, too, that the one-year deal almost ensures that they're also drafting a receiver. So Marquise Brown is going to be one of many guys that are going to be seen as an improvement to this wide receiver group. They could even sign another veteran, because there's other guys out there that I'm sure we'll talk about, like Mike Williams of the Chargers, who got released. Tyler Boyd, like I said, is still a free agent. Kind of shocked he hasn't been picked up. There's other guys still out there that you could pick up and be like, you know what? This guy might be able to help us more than Kadarius Toney. Kadarius Toney, your cut. Or even Sky Moore. I don't think Sky Moore is 100% safe. I would be kind of surprised if they let him go, just because it's a rookie contract and everything like that. But you never know. And Brett Veach has been a cutthroat general manager before. So there are still moves to be made for this wide receiver group. So I don't think Hollywood Brown is like this end-all, be-all move for the wide receiver room. So I just, you know, like you said, it's nothing spectacular, but it's a signing that helps. It certainly helps.
Yeah. And I would love a Tyler Boyd signing. I don't know what he would go for, but get a former Bengal into this offense. And I would love that. But like you said, the floor has been raised, and this team won a Super Bowl with Mecole Hardman and MVS on this wide receiver roster. So I think this move definitely helps the team get better, but It's not what their plan was. Their plan is hopefully to draft the wide receiver very high in the draft, and he's your number two. Honestly, with the way that Rashee Rice played last year, maybe he does take a step into being a number one wide receiver.
Yeah, it's possible. I don't think we've seen what Rashee Rice's ceiling is yet. This year was a really good rookie season for him, but I feel like he can build off a lot of things and maybe start to win more over the intermediate field and maybe start, you know, getting some of those deep shots that he got in college. Cause I remember coming out of SMU, he led the FBS in receptions of 20 yards or more, or explosive plays, as they call them. He didn't really do that in KC this past year, but who's to say he can't start to be that kind of guy once again in the NFL as he expands his route tree, learns how to beat man coverage a little bit better. So like you said, the floor has been raised with Hollywood, but we also haven't seen the ceiling with Rashee Rice. And I think that just, it gives you a lot of optimism that this wide receiver group is going to be much improved next year. And one more note I'll throw in about Hollywood too, is that his numbers, you kind of look at them over the past couple of years and you go, meh, but think about the revolving door of awful quarterbacks that he's had to play with in Arizona. Colt McCoy, Josh Dobbs, Trace McSorley. He played more games with those guys as his starting quarterback than he did Kyler Murray. And even Kyler Murray was coming off a torn ACL, and I'm not even that high on Kyler Murray. So I feel like Hollywood in this offense is going to look a lot more productive.
Yeah, and like you said, the contract is just so good. It's a very low base salary with a lot of incentives. And even then, I think the max he can make is like $13 million. Like
11.
With wide receivers, $11 million. With wide receivers that are set, like signing for $50 million, I would take the $11 million signing.
Look at what Calvin Ridley got, 4 for 90. No one saw him getting that. And the only reason he got that is because it was between the Jaguars and the Patriots, and the Titans were like, what do we have to do to get you? And they just threw in a bid that no one else can beat.
Yeah, and I don't know if he makes that offense that much better. So I would have been furious if the Chiefs lost a bidding war or won a bidding war to that. Like, that would have just been foolish. But keep in mind, the Titans aren't in the Super Bowl every year like the Chiefs are. So, I mean, those are the kind of contracts that bad teams sign, and that's why they're in the position that they're in.
For sure. I think we can agree that this was a good, solid signing. No one's doing backflips over Marquise Brown, but I struggle to find where people could possibly be complaining about this deal for a one-year deal.
Yeah, like he's better than anybody that the Chiefs have had outside of Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce.
And they won the Super Bowl with those guys. So I don't like I'm like there were not many guys that I just would have been complaining about. So and Hollywood Brown, I'm not going to complain about it. I think had they not gotten him and it was like KJ Osborne or something, maybe then I would have been like, all right, this is just not a needle mover. But I think Hollywood Brown is a needle mover.
Is MVS still a free agent?
He is. Yes.
He'll probably be a free agent for a while.
Yeah, I think he'll probably sit until after the draft, and then there's going to be some team that either needs a camp body or didn't get to address receiver in the draft or something that'll circle back around. That's what I think will happen with MVS. But so the Chiefs signed Hollywood Brown. I'll ask you, and maybe you kind of already answered this and I just missed it, but do you think that the Chiefs should still sign another veteran? Are you okay heading into the draft with what they have? Is there a move that's been made that you kind of would have made even before the Hollywood signing? Anything like that? Like, I know Curtis Samuel went to Buffalo for 3 years, $30 million. So any additional thoughts on wide receiver free agency?
I would like to get another veteran. Just I feel more confident, and I also just don't want Sky Moore or Kadarius Toney getting touches next year. So if you could sign a veteran wide receiver, it's unrealistic to think that we could get Tyler Boyd, but who knows if his stock keeps dropping, why not? And that'd be a quality weapon who could be your number three. If he's your number three, you're in a really, good,
really
spot.
Good spot. That's
before the draft where you could draft somebody else. So Tyler Boyd would be the best case scenario, but even if it's not, you know, him, just another wide receiver that could come in and be your number three, I'd feel a lot better about this team.
Yeah, and if you signed another guy, I think you'd be comfortable, even if you're not pigeonholed into drafting a receiver, and I don't think they're pigeonholed into drafting a receiver necessarily. Even after the Hollywood signing, but I think they definitely still have to add a guy at some point in the draft. If they added another veteran, you might just be able to say, hey, we could wait till like the third round to take a guy if we really wanted to. Or because like a thought that I had is with the Hollywood signing, that kind of took a guy like Xavier Worthy off the board for me. Because when you think about it, Xavier Worthy is kind of exactly what you just signed in Hollywood Brown. Meaning that Xavier Worthy wouldn't help you next year, really. He'd just kind of be like the guy waiting behind Hollywood, and maybe Xavier Worthy gets some touches as, you know, the jet sweep guy in your offense or whatever as a rookie, but he's not really helping you a ton. That would be more like a move for the future. And I think that as much as you still want to acknowledge the future with this team and build for the future and draft guys that you think are going to help you in later years, this is a special opportunity, again, to three-peat, something that no other NFL team has ever done. And I think you still need to think about that and get you a guy that helps you this year. So kind of the point that I'm making is if you sign a veteran, then maybe Xavier Worthy does become an option once again at like 32 because you don't need him to help this year. But if you don't sign a veteran, maybe he kind of gets taken off your board. You don't draft him at the end of the first round if he's available. But that's just kind of a thought that I had after we made the Hollywood signing.
I definitely think that you should draft a receiver in the first three rounds. It doesn't have to be the first necessarily, but I would feel good about a second round receiver, kind of similar to what you did with
it's pretty deep class. So you could definitely wait till round two.
I think that would work, and you could draft, I mean, maybe an edge rusher. I mean, you've put a lot of resources into that, but actually you could also draft a corner because Legarius Sneed might not be a Chief next year, but I'm sure we'll talk about that.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. Also offensive tackle. I feel like it's becoming increasingly more likely that they draft an offensive tackle, and they haven't signed a veteran tackle yet. So I don't know if there's been some smoke around the Chiefs drafting an offensive tackle. And I don't think, I mean, especially with the receiver need addressed in free agency, you could draft a tackle on round one and then draft a receiver in round two, I think.
Is Tyron Smith still out there, or am I just
not? He signed with the Jets.
Yes, forgot about that because I remember seeing all that stuff with Aaron Rodgers, and apparently the Jets are going to be back this year, guys, but no, the Jets.
Yeah. No.
We'll be all right.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the Jets. There's still some tackle free agents out there, though. Mekhi Becton feels like a very Veach-esque move to bring in a former first rounder who has flashed but struggled with injuries. I know he's been on some free agent visits so far. Charles Leno is out there. DJ Humphreys, the Arizona Cardinals left tackle who got released at the beginning of free agency, coming off a torn ACL, but when healthy is a solid starter. I could see that being a move potentially combined with the draft pick. So we've mentioned it before, but I don't think Wanya Morris should be plan A at left tackle. That's not to say that Wanya Morris can't still eventually become the starting left tackle. And he was a rookie last year, and rookie tackles just tend to struggle a little bit. But he definitely should not be plan A. So he has to be paired, I think, with a veteran or another draft pick or probably even both.
Yeah, I don't hate Wanya Morris, but I don't really feel super confident about him being the future at left tackle. So I would like to try to get a veteran to come back. I mean, maybe Donovan Smith wants to kick the tires again with the Chiefs and come back. He wasn't great, but he wasn't horrible, and he knows the system, so why not maybe bring him back and just, you know, on a cheap one-year deal, just keep extending that window, and maybe you find that Wanya Morris is ready after another year of sitting behind him.
Yeah.
But I don't think that a first-round rookie tackle would be in any better shape to protect Patrick Mahomes than Wanya Morris is.
That's probably why it would almost have to also be paired with a veteran free agent signing.
Yeah, and then you got three left tackles. That's a lot. I mean, that's...
Well, okay, then there's the Juwan Taylor conversation where whoever loses the battle at left tackle becomes the future starter at right tackle once you get towards the end of Juwan Taylor's contract. And, like, I think Juwan Taylor is better than people have started to believe because of the penalty issues this past year. I still think he's a solid right tackle. I think he's a good starting right tackle, and his pass blocking was a huge upgrade over Andrew Wiley this past year. But that said, the penalties were terrible. If Juwan Taylor's contract continues to look like an albatross, then maybe you release him at some point, cut ties with Juwan Taylor, and then whoever loses that left tackle battle maybe slides in that right tackle instead.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate Juwan Taylor like a lot of people do. I do think that issue with penalties is going to have to be fixed this year because that just killed us in so many drives. But, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's a great question. Like, who is going to potentially play right tackle after he leaves? But, you know, the Chiefs have taken some guys at tackle that haven't really worked out. Lucas Niang's an example. And so I don't know if I think Wanya Morris is going to be the future, but you know, even then he might be able to be a decent backup guard, kind of like a Nick Allegretti, because that's kind of where he struggled this year. He wasn't great as a tackle, yeah. But you know, most guys aren't great as tackles, and that's why they transition to being a guard. So that might also be an option.
For sure. Enough with the tackles, though. I think we covered that. I wanted to ask you about the rest of Chiefs free agency, because they signed a receiver. But besides that, pretty quiet as far as signing guys from outside of the organization. They signed Irv Smith. I feel like we don't need to dive too deep on that. That's like your tight end three. I still think there's upside with Irv Smith, but I mean, we're just going to have to see it. I think he's an upgrade over Blake Bell, but a little more receiving ability than Blake Bell, which is fine, but that's your tight end three. Besides that, though, really haven't done much. I have been tracking that they are kind of running it back at defensive tackle. It seems like they brought back Mike Pinnell, Derek Nnadi, and Tershawn Wharton. They've kind of brought back a few more of their own free agents. Are you surprised, disappointed that they haven't done more to maybe kind of address some other positions? Are you okay with kind of the run it back thing everywhere else but receiver? Because, like, personally, I would have tried to add some talent to the defensive tackle room. I thought this was one of the worst defensive tackle rooms in the league last year. And they seem to be running it back, and it's just kind of underwhelming to me. And I know some people have said, hey, they could still draft a guy, and sure, they could, but I feel like if you bring back the entire starting defensive tackle rotation on the first day of free agency, or was it the second day, maybe even, if you're doing that, I don't feel like you're going to cut any of these guys in a few months after the draft. I don't know, like, it feels like they're running it back at defensive tackle. And also another thing I'll throw in before I let you talk is the veteran free agent running back market, I thought would be perfect for the Chiefs to get in on. Running backs did get paid a little bit, but like, I thought Zach Moss would have been nice. I think I saw that they were interested in A.J. Dillon before he returned to the Packers. I would have liked him as a guy that could back up Pacheco and be someone that could pass block a little bit. Jerick McKinnon replacement type guy. Maybe helps out your short yardage offense a little bit. But, yeah, just kind of ho-hum through the free agency period to this point besides the Marquise Brown move. Well, what are your thoughts?
I think it's crazy that Mike Pinnell is playing football in 2024 for the Kansas City Chiefs.
And I like Mike Pinnell, and he was good in the Super Bowl, but I don't think he can start 17 games in 2024. No.
It's almost like a guy that you kind of bring out there to just, you know, relive old glory and let him and ball out in the postseason. But like, man, what are we doing? And Derek Nnadi, I thought he was underrated in years in the past. Like, you knew that he wasn't going to be a huge sack leader, but he was good at stopping the run. He was not very good at stopping the run last year. And
he was.
So,
do you remember the PFF, like on Sunday Night Football? I think it was. Where they'd have the PFF grade at the bottom of the screen for each player. Derek Nnadi was dead last out of defensive tackles last year. And like, PFF grades are kind of like, you can poke holes in them, but you know, there's something to be said when you're ranked dead last by PFF at your position.
Yeah. It's almost like the Chiefs were so focused about signing Chris Jones that the rest of them are just, all right, just run this thing back. And when you had the defense that you did last year, I kind of understand the thought process of running it back, but a huge part of that defense is L'Jarius Sneed, and there's no guarantee that he does come back. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, there really wasn't a lot of moves that were made outside of the Hollywood Brown one. They're confident in the roster that they have and that they can hopefully get better in the draft. Now, maybe Brett Veach thought that the free agency class just wasn't that good, and there was guys that got paid a lot more than they should have, and there is some merit to that, but also at the same time, like, you could have probably paid somebody, you know, to replace Derek Nnadi or Mike Pinnell. Or Mike Pinnell. I mean, Mike Pinnell is all right to have, but he just can't start.
Yeah, and then I saw Tershawn Wharton resigned, and then Jeremy Fowler of ESPN tweeted that he could have a bigger role in 2024. And I'm like, bigger role? Why? Like, Tershawn Wharton is like a good third or fourth, you know, defensive tackle in the rotation. He can't be starting next to Chris Jones. This can't be the plan. Because yes, this was a top five defense, but as you mentioned, probably not going to have Legarius Sneed, so your secondary is going to take a hit. I feel like you're going to need to compensate with that with defensive line help, as well as, of course, adding probably a veteran cornerback or drafting a cornerback. But definitely want to improve the what was the biggest weakness on your defense last year. The defensive tackle room was by far the biggest weakness. And I understand the logic, too, of, hey, this is the same rotation that we won the Super Bowl with last year, but I don't love the idea of, hey, we won in spite of this position group, so if we bring them back, we'll be fine.
Yeah, but I also at the same time, like, I trust Steve Spagnuolo a lot, and who knows if behind closed doors he goes, I want Tershawn Wharton. I want Derek Nnadi back. And maybe he is wrong about that, but you know, maybe he's right. I mean, they've won the past two Super Bowls, so maybe I'm the idiot, but I don't know.
Or maybe the hope is Neil Farrell eventually jumps into the rotation or Isaiah Bugs on the futures deal turns out to be something. That's the only other logical explanation that I could have for that.
Or they draft somebody in like the second.
Maybe. Third. I just would be kind of surprised now if they did that because you brought everybody back. And I feel like they're not just going to cut them in a few months after they brought them back on the like first or second day of free agency. Like if they had signed Mike Pinnell at the beginning or right before training camp, and then Mike Pinnell didn't make the team. Like, that's understandable. He was sitting on the market or whatever. But to be quickly scoop those guys up on the first or second day of free agency, I feel like indicates the fact that the Chiefs plan for them to be on the team.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they definitely did. And
Mike Pinnell. Go ahead. I like Mike Pinnell in the rotation. I like Tershawn Wharton in the rotation. I just don't understand the Derek Nnadi one, though. Like, that's one I can't get over. It was time to move on from Derek Nnadi.
Yeah. And I think it's just the Chiefs have certain things that they do that drive us crazy. And we're like screaming and crying, like, why'd you do this? And then they ultimately end up winning. So it's hard for me to be super critical, but I think that they definitely could have upgraded the position group and get somebody better than Derek Nnadi. But at the same time, if it's not broken, don't fix it. And it has worked the last two seasons. So, you know, why isn't it going to work the third season? And they improved the offense. So who knows? But they definitely could have improved, but I'm not worried about the defensive tackle group.
Yeah. I won't say I'm not worried about it because I am worried about it. Just a little bit because that room behind Chris Jones was pretty bad last year, but I'll give them the benefit of the doubt with the NFL draft still ahead. And free agency technically is not over yet either. So we'll see what they do. Kind of surprised I didn't get in on the veteran defensive end market yet. Emmanuel Ogba is still out there. That's a guy that I like, or like Charles Harris or something like that. I feel like they got to bring in a veteran defensive lineman with Charles Omenihu being out the first 6 to 8 games of next year, most likely. But that's also a position where maybe they're just like, hey, the NFL draft will take care of it. And like, I get you still have the draft, but I also don't love banking on the NFL draft I don't love banking on having an all world draft to fill the rest of your holes, because odds are there's going to be a draft pick in there somewhere that ends up not doing anything or you miss. And like, I'm not saying the Chiefs shouldn't be confident in their own evaluation. You know, I would question them if they weren't, but that doesn't mean every single pick is going to work out, because for every George Karloftis and Trent McDuffie, there's a Sky Moore. And I don't know. I just would like to see them add a few more, you know, higher upside free agents, veteran free agents, rather than just, you know, throwing us a bone with Hollywood Brown and then kind of looking towards the draft.
Yeah, it just seems like, why not maybe go with the guaranteed talent instead of trying to draft the replacement? But, you know, there was a draft class. I think it was the 2021 draft class. It was the draft class after Clyde, the Chenault draft class. And Pacheco,
yes.
That draft class was so damn good. And it was actually, it was 22, right?
Yep.
That draft class has like given us another 5 years on our Super Bowl window. So if they could do something like that, I mean, yeah, we're not going to be strapped for any talent, but that is hard to do. And so I would like to see them maybe add some more veteran talent. But if they don't end up doing that, I think that they're confident that they can get at least a couple guys in the draft that can be really good day one players.
Yeah, this team has shown to draft well, especially over the past few years. They've really, you know, haven't had too many busts. And maybe I should be giving them more credit. And I always said, like, you know, I'm done with the panic and the freak out because I've had so many doubts about this team over the years, and they just go on to win the Super Bowl anyway. The worst they finished is in the AFC Championship game, overtime of the AFC Championship game. So, like, I'm not freaking out or anything. And honestly, like, they signed a wide receiver. That was the biggest need. That was my biggest concern. They addressed that need. I'm not going to bitch too much, but it would just be nice if they brought in some more veterans that I feel like raise the floor of those other positions too.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
So we got all that out of the way, kind of our additional free agency thoughts, but I think for the most part, we're satisfied. We got a receiver. That was the number one need, and that's been filled. And they could still add more, but next up, the next big domino we're waiting for to fall, and maybe an answer as to why they haven't made more moves is because L'Jarius Sneed is still on the franchise tag for the Kansas City Chiefs. It seems pretty clear that they're going to trade him at this point, and that that's been the plan. We kind of been on the side of the spectrum saying that L'Jarius Sneed is going to get traded. It just seems like what it is at this point. The verbiage from NFL reporters has made it seem like it's inevitable that Sneed gets traded. He's still on the team. We've seen some other guys get traded in the NFL free agency from other teams. In fact, we've seen cornerbacks get traded. Carlton Davis being one, went to the Detroit Lions, I think it was, for a third round pick. That takes them out of the Sneed market. I feel like they were a big team that everyone was mentioning. Other teams have made moves. I think the Falcons signed somebody that I can't remember. But it seems like
Okuda, or am I just...
No, Okuda was on the Falcons and went somewhere else. But I thought the Falcons had went somewhere. But anyway, the point that I'm making is that the Sneed market seems to be dwindling. And it seems like... I was watching the Matt Verderam show last night. I guess he did put a clip out saying the same thing, so I guess I can share it because it's behind a paid Patreon account. But... he was saying how Sneed is asking for too much in contract negotiations, and that's the main holdup at this point as to why he hasn't been traded. But I also think that a lot of Chiefs fans are setting themselves up for disappointment when it comes to potential L'Jarius Sneed compensation in a trade, because the latest rumors we've heard are the Indianapolis Colts are the most interested, and that the two sides of the Chiefs and the Colts are ironing out final details for L'Jarius Sneed, and that, you know, a third round pick seems to be what is being thrown out there at this point as compensation for Sneed. Some people are going to be disappointed. Some people are going to say, how could you not get at least a second? I was kind of under that belief when I saw Carlton Davis went for a third to Detroit. Cause it's like, okay, Sneed's a lot better than Carlton Davis. So if he gets a third, Sneed should get a second. But then I saw Brian Burns of the Carolina Panthers get traded to the New York Giants for a second and a fifth. Brian Burns is a premium pass rusher, so he plays a position that's more valuable than cornerback. He's also 2 years younger than L'Jarius Sneed, and he only went for a second and a fifth. So when that trade happened, I'm like, okay, if a 25-year-old premium pass rusher is getting a second and a fifth, maybe Sneed gets no more than a third-round pick, and I feel like Chiefs fans should just be happy with a third-round pick at this point. And I understand if people are disappointed, but I don't know, like, thinking about it, like, really being realistic about it, Sneed is more valuable to the Chiefs than he is anywhere else. He's a good cornerback. I think he's really good, not elite. And I think this was his one elite year. And we went back and forth on this a few episodes ago. Sneed's a great player. Don't get me wrong, but he's not in the Jalen Ramsey, Darrell Revis kind of tier. He's 27. He's coming off a season in which he had a nagging knee injury. He's been banged up a few times. The Chiefs kind of had to put him on ice during practice all the time during the week leading up to games because of his knee injury. This was his one elite year, and it was in a contract year. I just feel like you're going to have to be happy with a third at this point for L'Jarius Sneed, and I think he is still inevitably going to be traded. I think there is zero chance that he plays on the franchise tag. It's either he gets a new long-term deal from the Chiefs or somebody else gets traded, or he gets traded, is what I meant to say, because there's zero chance he plays on that tag, because the tag is already hindering them clearly from making other free agent moves. I don't think they want him to play on the tag. I've seen some people say, hey, he could just play on the tag. And then people will push back saying, oh, he'll sit out. No, he won't sit out because he hasn't made enough money in his career to be able to sit out. The financial penalties would be too harsh. So I'm rambling on. I'm dragging this out. But at the end of the day, if he gets traded for a third round pick, you know, you've drafted him in the fourth round a couple years ago and you ended up getting a third for him. So I don't think you can complain too much.
And two Super Bowls. So I think the Chiefs definitely gained a lot from that draft pick. And originally I thought that he was going to go for a second, like most people did. There were some Chiefs fans out there that thought he'd go for a first. It's just like, dude, unless you're, you know, the elite of the elite, you're not getting a first round draft pick. And Brian Burns, I believe someone offered him.
The Rams offered two firsts a couple years ago and they didn't take it.
They didn't take it and they should have taken it. But I think L'Jarius Sneed for a third, it's a good trade for us. We don't have him playing under the tag. The tag is like $19 million this year, isn't it? And that's just not feasible to pay a cornerback that, let's face it, he's good and he's a really good player, but he's not an elite great player. And so I think that you're going to have to make that distinction. And if he goes to the Colts, if he goes to, I don't know what the other team that was interested is, but if he goes there, you know, the Chiefs get him off their books. They get a third round draft pick and you go and you draft his replacement. It's that simple. And I think that is, unfortunately, the harsh nature of this business is that, you know, you're going to have to say goodbye to some guys that are fairly popular in your team. But I think it's going to work out for the better. And I think that cornerback, similar to running back, is one of those positions that you can replace. I don't want to say it's as easy, but you can find a quality
for the Chiefs. It's been pretty easy. So, I mean,
yeah. I mean, you pick up guys like Tavarius Ward and you draft L'Jarius Sneed in the fourth. It's like you can find guys that can play really good snaps for you. I think Chimari Connor might be L'Jarius Sneed's replacement, or you've already got Joshua Williams and Jalen Watson. So, I think the Chiefs will be okay
for sure. You have to trust your investments that you've made. You've drafted Joshua Williams and Jalen Watson. You've let them play a lot in their first 2 years. Eventually, one of those guys has to step into one of those larger roles. Those are the investments that you've made. And there's also Nick Jones, who it seems like the team still really likes. There's Chimari Connor, who you mentioned. There's other guys waiting in the wings on this roster.
Yeah. And you draft one more guy for depth. That's what I would do.
Yeah, I think we're in agreement there. I don't have too much else to say for this episode, Michael. I just really wanted to discuss free agency with you, the moves the Chiefs have made thus far. But before we kind of wrap things up, is there anyone still out there that you like, just regardless of position, that you'd be like, hey, man, the Chiefs should get in on this guy? Like, their market's moving slow. Why the hell not?
Honestly, I've sold myself over this podcast on Tyler Boyd. Go get Tyler Boyd. I think that would be an awesome signing. And if you get Tyler Boyd and go into the draft and draft a wide receiver in the top three rounds, Josh, this offense is back. I mean, they're so back.
Yeah, I like Tyler Boyd. I think some people aren't as big of a fan of him because he overlaps with Rashee Rice a lot in the slot. And Rashee Rice kind of thrives in the slot. You don't want to mess with that too much. But I still think they can coexist, especially if Tyler Boyd's your wide receiver three. And I think at this point, with how slow his market has been, I think Tyler Boyd was hoping to get a chance to be like a wide receiver two somewhere, hasn't gotten that. And he's just going to have to sign up to be a wide receiver three somewhere again. And that's okay. That's what he is. But I think he can play some snaps on the outside. I still think he has some versatility and he's a guy that can step in for Rashee Rice if an injury were to happen, or just anywhere in the wide receiver room if an injury were to happen. I think he could step in. So if his market truly is this quiet, why not?
Yeah, that'd be a great signing. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, again, we're in agreement there, but I think we're going to go ahead and wrap up this episode. We will definitely hop back on in the future when more stuff goes down. The Kingdom Crew podcast still exists even after this episode, but Yeah, Michael, with all that being said, why don't you let everyone know where they can find you?
You guys can find me on Instagram and Twitter at the Michael Darcy, and go check me out on the Bleacher Report mobile app, Michael_Darcy, and obviously on YouTube at KC Sports Report.
And that will all be in the description as always. As for me, you can check out my work on showmefootball.com and arrowheadaddict.com for more. Just subscribe here to the YouTube where the podcast is being viewed. You can also check us out on all the podcast platforms as well for the audio version, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all that good stuff. But we're going to go ahead and wrap it up there, guys. Thank you all so much for listening. I've really enjoyed your guys' support this offseason, and there's still a lot more to come. We still got the draft coming up. We'll definitely start looking towards the draft here in a little bit as free agency winds down. So be sure to subscribe, hit that notification bell for future episodes. We will keep you guys covered all offseason long. We'll see you in the next one. Go Chiefs.